Overconsumption is really getting out of hand now.
I own over 500 eyeshadow palettes.
Do you know how out of touch you have to be to upload a haul of you unboxing $70,000 worth of designer product in this economy?
This consumer resistance isn't a trend anymore. It's now normal behavior because the internet has become a wasteland of desperate brands and influencers screaming the same garbage into the void.
Nothing makes me more mad than when I'm scrolling and I see a video that is clearly an ad that is not marked as an ad.
Countless influencers are just not disclosing their ads at all anymore, and it is a huge FTC guidelines violation. It is against the law, and they don't get in trouble for it.
Come experience a day in the life of an AI model.
Fake people, AI people, are going to be some of the biggest influencers in the world in 10 years.
Yeah, I don't think people are freaking out enough about what's going on. I mean, but there is going to be a content crisis so extreme that the entire internet's going to have to be rethought.
But, like, influencers have really lost the plot.
Every generation has its gold rush, and ours is social media. Because in a world weighed down by soaring inflation, a housing crisis, a shaky job market, and unstable politics, influencing has become a sort of cheat code out of all your modern problems just by posting your life online. And for so long, it worked incredibly well. From mega influencers living in luxury to micro creators using the income to pay off debt or just cover the bills, the influencer dream can be a safe haven for anyone. But behind the highlight reels, the industry is starting to show cracks. Influencer fatigue is taking over as people are tired of being sold to, preyed upon, and flaunted at. On top of that, new technological advances like Google's VO3 and OpenAI's Sora are threatening the industry at its core. And while the influencer economy may feel unstoppable now, as it's a $20 billion industry, that doesn't mean the bubble is beyond bursting. And so that's what we're going to be dissecting today, how the influencer industry that started out as a rebellion against traditional media has become just an even messier version of it, and whether this golden age is sustainable or on the verge of collapse. One thing about the influencer industry that has only gotten worse as social media has taken over our lives is the outrageous amount of consumerism. The worst offender of all, in my opinion, being the PR epidemic. Because now, every time you scroll your phone, you're bound to stumble upon a level of consumption so extreme that it borders on rage bait. Often these influencers even wait for packages to pile up enough so that when they go to do the unboxing, it's so over the top that it sparks outrage, which only pushes the content further in the algorithm, because the spectacle of excess gets attention. And this goes for hauls as well, because how many people actually find a $100,000 designer haul useful? Pretty much no one. But you know what it is good for? Making people angry about how much money you wasted, getting them to comment their rage and or stitching it, and further increasing your reach on the platform. Any attention is good attention in the influencer world. But going back to PR, the thing is, it shouldn't be normal for people to be sent thousands of packages from brands for free in hopes that they get a few seconds of airtime. But that's what we're dealing with here.
I have no idea what's in any of these. 2 months worth of PR packages means 4 days of unboxing.
Thankfully, there has been some pushback, though, as most viewers are against this type of advertising.
I have a confession.
We have another one.
I may be a lipstick whore. Patch, like, there's literally dust on these.
I am happy to be the one who sticks my neck out and says that influencers are causing a huge problem with the amount of overconsumption that they do, the amount of PR that they accept, and the amount of stuff that they flog to us to buy. And it's stuff that it's not their favourites, it's not stuff that they love, it's not stuff that they use themselves, because they just get sent so much.
And rightfully so, because these brands shouldn't be sending packages to rich influencers who can afford these products outright. But unfortunately, that is not how it works. Brands don't care about sending products to the less fortunate when PR is the cheapest way to get on influencers' feeds and therefore into your eyes, as their rates for paid collaborations on TikTok are in the thousands. The other reason I don't think PR unboxing are going anywhere despite people not liking them is because it is aspirational for young people chasing the influencer dream. As we know, for most of Gen Z and Gen Alpha, becoming an influencer is their top career goal. So even though we don't like the unboxings, the possibility of making it big keeps them subconsciously supportive of it. After all, if you think you can get in on the free stuff, then why wouldn't you support it?
If I could give any advice to micro influencers or smaller creators, embrace what I call the free shit era. I would say when I had like 20 to 30,000 followers, I wasn't making money off of posting on TikTok, but I was getting a lot of free stuff.
But this is only one small slice of the whoever consumes the most wins niche on social media, where it's pay to play content creation. When your job is to get the most attention possible on the internet, then it's inevitable that people will keep pushing the limits to get more eyes. And the reality of this is just whoever wastes the most gets the most payout.
I was laid off about 2 months ago from my full-time job. And in the meantime, I've been doing as much social media stuff as possible. I'm very grateful that like I kind of have this as a backup. But the bulk of my content is like outfit videos and lifestyle stuff, which now I've tried to do a little bit more of the lifestyle stuff because to be honest, it just costs me less money. It sounds so stupid, but the amount of pressure that I feel to like constantly buy new things in order to stay relevant is actually crazy.
But it didn't start like this. It's grown over time into the beast it is today. Like imagine showing someone in 2010 what influencer hauls look like today. They would be shook to say the least. Because the influencer origin story is one of humble beginnings, with the OG YouTubers posting videos just for fun as a hobby and then growing into careers later. The hauls were never these massive store buyout level shows, rather just a girl who went to the mall with her friends and bought a few things. And honestly, it makes me so sad to think how far we've fallen, I guess, or changed. And yes, some of the families in these videos were well off, meaning they could afford more clothes than maybe your average person, but it was still, for the most part, just middle-class families sharing their lives as regular people. Even Christmas hauls, which were the most outrageous of them all, weren't that crazy compared to today. It's been a slow build of always out-purchasing each other and commodifying all that exists, no matter what the cost is. And so objects have become almost meaningless and as disposable as junk mail arriving in your mailbox every morning. That's how we've ended up with influencers flaunting their 50 Stanley cups or the drawers and drawers of unused makeup. Because that's aspirational, right? We watch these shows because we aspire to be like those we see. And not just to be, but to have the same things and to waste the same things. To treat personal belongings like they don't really matter, like they can be trashed without a second thought. We too want to be wasteful, to be excessive, to seem like we can live a life of glamour and luxury, free from the apparent drudgeries of work, free from the disappointments of our daily lives, free of the cares and anxieties that characterize the necessity of working to be paid. The potential of excess of money appears as that which fulfills the desire to be free of obligation to others, and perhaps paradoxically, to be free of the requirements of material possession. This is also one of the main contributors that we're seeing in the trend cycles these days, that everything is moving too quickly for us to even keep up with. There's a paradox in that so many things are trending now that nothing's really trending. Due to the vast consumption online, fashion trends are going in and out of style faster than we can keep up with some trends lasting only up to 6 months at most. Like, remember when Mob Wife was trending in early 2024 as a response to the clean girl aesthetic? But it literally only lasted a month. And because we're moving so quickly through cycles, brands are overproducing clothing items and continuously dropping new collections to keep up with the demand. We see this in the boom of fast fashion companies taking the lead on social media, like Shein, Fashion Nova, and Zara. These companies offer on-trend cheap clothes that draw in younger, lower earner people and aren't high enough quality to even make it to the next season, meaning you'll be back to the influencers once again to see what to wear next. It's to the point now that four season collections are out and weekly micro collections are in. This is just a part of the culture now. Arms full of bags with more and more clothes, more than anyone can even wear in a year. It's just the standard if you want to be a fashion influencer these days. And the interesting thing about this is that it's not even a waste of money for them to blow so much cash on clothes that they'll probably only wear once, because the profit is made from sharing it with their audience, and it more than covers the bill. And this is one of the main reasons that there is such a disconnect between influencers and their audience these days, is that the character of an influencer has evolved so far beyond its viewer. As I see see it, the whole point of an influencer is to share a life that feels a part of the same reality we all experience. So their trends, choices, or advice feels relevant to your own life. And that's whether it's relatable content or aspirational. They don't have to be living in the same tax bracket as you, but in the same context. Because content from the same social and cultural reality as their followers allows the experience to resonate with them and feel actionable. That's what the original draw was, right? Because before the world of social media, we only got scripted characters from TV or manufactured versions of celebrities as our aspiration. The influencer was a revolution in the media world as it was someone real, living the same experience as you. But the shift now isn't just that influencers are super wealthy and flashy, but that they live by a different set of rules and therefore are no different than us just watching the fictional life of Rachel from Friends live in a New York apartment on a waitress's salary. Because the life of an influencer is fully enmeshed with their work, they've stepped outside of the rules that govern the rest of society, as the equation of how their life functions plays out on a different field than that of the viewer. As much as we want these big influencers to be just like us, and however much they cosplay as the regular person, they aren't.
I'd like to know a little bit more about what like a milk carton costs.
Because only influencers can say that buying clothes isn't an expense, but an investment. When you choose to buy a jacket, it's for your wardrobe. When an influencer buys a jacket, it's an affiliate opportunity, a haul feature, or an attraction for a sponsorship. You choose an apartment based on where you can afford to live and what you need to live close to. An influencer chooses based on what would make for good content. Viewers book trips for a vacation, obviously, and a chance to relax. Influencers do them either as a way to monetize personal experiences with travel vlogs or based on whatever brand will pay their entire way, meaning their incentives to buy are completely distorted and don't translate to our own lives or our motives. That's the part that makes us feel so disconnected from influencers these days, because it's not even a world you can participate in unless you're also an influencer or deep in credit card debt. And honestly, I don't see things stopping anytime soon, because as much as we say we dislike the overconsumption, we can't look away. There's an appeal to peering into the lives of the rich and famous, and that's all this is. It's interesting to see someone blow your entire year's salary in one shopping trip. And as we've seen, even a recession can't stop the influencers because, like I said, the more they spend, the more they get back. Yes, their affiliate sales are probably down as their viewers can't even afford to buy groceries, let alone the new Stanley Cup accessory, but they don't necessarily need them when they have giftings and sponsorships to make up the difference. Either way, they can continue to perpetuate overconsumption no matter the crisis. Not to mention with all the horrors going on today, people love the escapism of it all. They want to see someone living and thriving the life they wish to live because it gives them a break from their own reality. Even if people say that they're tired of seeing the all too curated lifestyle of an influencer, which they are, views are still going up. The next piece of this influencer bubble puzzle may be the most dystopian of them all, and of course I'm talking about the new player in the game, AI influencers. Now we have had digital influencers for a while now, the most notable being Mikayla, a CGI generated model who came onto the scene in 2016 as a 19-year-old Brazilian American living in LA and has gained a lot of attention as she blurred the line between reality and digital life. But over the past few years, we've seen more and more AI influencers pop up with modest success as they're caught between public fascination and AI pushback. There are a few AI influencers that have taken off, like Emma, I think is how you say her name, an Instagram influencer with almost 400,000 followers, and she can command thousands of dollars from brands in exchange for promoting their products to her audience. And while previously you could obviously tell when an influencer was AI, with the recent progress in VO3 and Sora, it's actually getting really scary. To quote this article title, OpenAI's Sora 2 is an unholy abomination. Because some of these influencers are so realistic that their videos, I hate to say it, look real. And then just last week when Sora came out, we saw this nightmare expand with the Jake Paul makeup tutorial trend, which first of all, is hilarious, but second of all, super Black Mirror. Long gone are the days of the Will Smith spaghetti videos. We are in enemy territory now where you have to question everything. Like, you know it's gone too far when you look at all the comments and it's a 50-50 split of whether people think it's actually Jake Paul. And same, like, it's so hard to tell. And the implications of this in the influencer world specifically include not even knowing if your favorite influencer will one day just up and leave and opt for using their AI avatar instead.
I need you all to see something horrifying, actually.
How to access your partner's Instagram without ever touching their phone. Go to the site below and...
Now that is one handsome young man. Charming, eloquent, charitable, clearly, dare I say, breedable. But I'll tell you what, he's not me. It's not me, beloved. That is an AI deepfake of me created entirely without my permission.
It really opens up the world of influencers to a place where authenticity has gone to die because an AI persona is literally the opposite of authentic. If we lose real people in front of the camera, then our feeds reduce down to nothing more than watching cartoon infomercials dancing before us. But the question of whether the AI influencers will take over is a tricky one because the appeal of AI influencers is definitely there still. They're endlessly customizable, ensuring consistency with brand messaging. They don't suffer from human unpredictability, reducing scandal risks, and they're scalable, providing flexibility across platforms. They also don't need sleep or travel time or vacations. So I think the lack of authenticity is weighed out when the brands see how much they can profit off of this. As said here about Michaela, from a brand perspective, we are able to create a very dynamic storyline. So Michaela can be, for example, in London one day supporting an art gallery opening and in LA the same day to support a new coffee shop that she really likes, right? I think brands love that she can be anywhere. The question here moving forward is who will win the battle between viewer pushback against AI versus the opportunists eager to profit from virtual influencers? AI influencers have slightly higher engagement rates, 1.4% than human influencers, but their follower growth is stagnating, with a 0.4 decline according to in-house research. This suggests that while AI influencers intrigue audiences, their long-term impact remains unclear. AI influencers lack the authenticity and emotional resonance that result in successful influencer campaigns, so we would need to see if they can get accepted by the public for them to flourish, because that's what it's all about, right? Like, who can make the most money? But even still, Michaela, while very obviously digital, has still participated in ad campaigns. So maybe it's not that far off. But then the follow-up question is it even a battle when we won't even know when the AI influencers take over? If they truly become indistinguishable from real creators and authenticity is already dying out in the industry and no one is requiring them to disclose the use of AI, then I don't know if we even stand a chance. But on top of that point, I do think we've already given up on social media as a whole because it's just become another form of traditional media, no different than cable TV. Like, we're getting false personas, false narratives, and ads everywhere we look. How is that any different than cable? Like, social media died long ago, so what are we even losing here? I saw this one creator say that they're actually looking forward to it because then it means that we might be able to give up social media once and for all.
This is my naive hope. Tell me if I'm making any sense. Right now we can clock AI. You see it, it's the edges are blurry, it looks a little goofy, and we can tell. Pretty soon we won't be able to tell. They'll develop it and there'll be no differentiating between what's real and what's fake, and then we're free. We are free. You look at your phone, there's no way to know if it's a celebrity or your friend or your family or like a business. The information on there is useless because there is no way to tell. And then the phone suddenly becomes way less useful, way less interesting, and we just put them down. And we walk over to your neighbors and you knock on the door and we start over with no phones. I hope that AI ruins the phone.
But the vote is still out whether AI influencers will displace real people in the industry, and I wouldn't put it out of the equation based on how much the industry has already changed so much from its humble beginnings to something unrecognizable, money-hungry, and devoid of authenticity. And adjacent to that, with how much AI is advancing, I don't know about you, but it's made me really nervous about how our children are going to navigate the online world. Kids are online earlier than ever, yet few families actually take real steps to protect themselves. In fact, according to a new survey, 80% of Gen Z parents say they're worried their kids will fall for AI-enhanced scams, but over a third of them still give full autonomy online, and 42% of kids aged 3 to 5 have already shared personal data online. With phishing, malware, and fake login pages getting smarter, protecting your family's accounts has never been more important. And that's where today's sponsor comes in, Bitwarden. It's a trusted open-source password manager that helps families protect their logins, share passwords securely, and keep their data out of the wrong hands. Bitwarden is cloud-based and cross-platform with a zero-knowledge and end-to-end encryption architecture, which means that even Bitwarden can't see your data. The free plan gives you unlimited passwords across all your devices, plus autofill, secure notes, and strong password generation. And if you want to protect the whole household, the family's plan lets up to 6 people manage and share sensitive information like medical records, passports, and even Netflix logins. So instead of your kid or partner asking, "What's the password again?" or everyone reusing the same logins across different accounts, you can share access in Bitwarden. Each person gets their own encrypted vault, so you can revoke or update access to individual logins at any time with one click. So even if your kid does get tricked by a fake login page, your other accounts stay safe. Bitwarden also offers free trials for teams and enterprise plans. And if you're wanting even more features, premium is just $10 a year or $40 for the family's plan. If you want your family's online safety to keep up with the AI era, protect your passwords today at bitwarden.com/AshleyEmbers. And you can find that link in the description as well to learn more about Bitwarden and dig into the survey data. So something I've been wanting to talk about for a long time now, but needed to wait until I got all my thoughts in order, is the epidemic of shady brand deals we're facing in the influencer world now. Now, before I get into it, I know that people have some very strong opinions about sponsorships, and I think that's very valid. Like, no one loves being sold to, but it is just a part of the industry. Yes, I know I'm biased in this because obviously this is my job, but to work full time at this, you do need sponsorships to make a sustainable income, unless you're like Mr. Beast and pulling in like 100 million views a month. So while I do see the irony of bashing influencer sponsorships in a video with a sponsorship, I wouldn't be able to make content without them. So it's just how it has to be. Also, the alternative is me just not addressing these issues that I want to talk about. So I'd rather just be called a hypocrite and get my message across still. With that being said, I do believe that there is an ethical way about going about this, and we're seeing a lot of shady deals these days. To give some context for those who don't know, social media is a bit like the Wild Wild West for content creators, in that when they originally started getting paid to promote products, there wasn't any legislation in place to regulate them. So basically, they did whatever they wanted. And that meant most of the time, creators wouldn't say that they got paid to talk about a product because they didn't feel like they had to. Well, that did change eventually when the FTC came in and basically told everyone that if you don't disclose sponsorships in a particular way, you can get fined tens of thousands of dollars. So since then, everything was pretty chill because you always knew when a product was being sold to you.
And after I talked about it on Snapchat, a lot of you wanted a discount code. So I teamed up with @SelfieLighting to give you a discount code on this.
The thing is, the winds have changed and we aren't seeing as much of this lately. Instead, there's a rising trend of influencers duping their audiences by not even telling them that something's an ad. Like, we fully Uno reversed back to the original days of influencing where nothing was disclosed. However, I think this time is much worse because we already know that it's not cool or legal, but they're still choosing to do it.
They're doing something new on podcasts recently, and I'm wondering if anyone else has noticed this because it's making me feel a bit crazy. But you know how when you're watching a TV show and they'll have random product placement, like you'll be watching New Girl and then all of a sudden they're like, "My Ford is so spacious." They're now doing that on podcasts, I'm realizing. Usually podcasts have the ads like interspersed throughout and you know that it's an ad when it comes on. But I noticed on Giggly Squad recently that like every 15 minutes they were mentioning their Dunkin' Donuts refresher drink. They'd be like, I'm about halfway done my Dunkin' Donuts refresher. And then they'd be like, I got the peach mango refresher. What kind did you get? And they were trying to make it sound natural, but it was still like, okay, why are you talking about this so often? And they did it with a recent episode. They like had a whole random section about McDonald's snack wraps, but as a listener, it pisses me off.
So again, for those who don't know, the legal requirements for posting an ad on social media include verbally stating the partnership in a clear way, as well as visually showing it. So that's why you have the paid partnership pop-up on TikToks or the paid promotion banner on YouTube, because you have to make it crystal clear to the viewer. And this also isn't just if a company is paying you, but if they send you product in exchange for a post. That is a form of payment that needs to be disclosed. And funny enough, so many of the ways that influencers try to disclose ads are not enough. Labels and phrases like link in bio, gifted, thank you, affiliate, collab, or PR aren't clear enough for the viewer to know that they were paid to promote this. As this influencer said, their current approach is to denote paid posts by tagging the sponsor alongside a handshake emoji in the copy. I pitch it to the companies who want it undisclosed. What if we do an emoji? And they're like, that sounds good. And I include that quote partially because it's so funny. Like, can you imagine trying to defend yourself to the FTC saying, but I used the handshake emoji, so obviously we shook on a deal. But because most of the time, it's not the influencer trying to be tricky, not that that absolves them from responsibility, but because the brands themselves are asking influencers to do this. One very popular brand that is playing this game is Bloom, where they pay creators not just to do an ad without saying it's an ad, but rather telling them to just place the bottle in any video and they'll get paid. I've also been seeing so many AI app ads where people do like this little skit and you think it's all fun and games until the AI plug comes in and you're like, oh my God, I've been duped.
Hey Josh, how's it going?
Good. Just kind of nervous. Don't really know what this is about.
All right, so it has come to my attention that there is a possibility that you've been outsourcing your job.
No. I've got Alfred. It's just like an AI that I'm using. It keeps inbox scheduling.
And there are numbers to support all of this as well. More than two-fifths of influencer ads are undisclosed or improperly disclosed, according to a new report from the Advertising Standards Authority. One-third of influencer ads have no disclosure at all. Meanwhile, 9% of ads had an attempted disclosure label, but the language used failed to make the commercial nature of the content clear. It's actually crazy. So there are a few reasons why this is happening. For one, the FTC just isn't reinforcing the rules they've put in place. One of the biggest actions taken was on Kim Kardashian for not disclosing her promotion of a cryptocurrency. Then there was also Dr. Squatch, who discontinued its paid creator posts on TikTok after they were called out for offering creator incentives for not disclosing their paid posts. But other than that, there hasn't been a lot of fines handed out. At least not enough to make a dent in the tsunami of secret ads floating around. Regulators around the world have attempted to mandate some forms of disclosure, typically using the hashtag such as hashtag ad, to minimize potential consumer confusion about payments involved in the production of online content. However, the enforcement of such disclosure regulation is often limited. In the US, for example, no influencers have been fined for non-disclosure, and only one brand received a small fine. But besides the fact that no one is stopping these companies from doing this, the big push is coming from something else, most likely the recession. While, as mentioned, no recession will stop influencers, it does change the game for them. Because without a doubt, consumer spending is down, and that's affecting the way influencers make money. The big reason why advertisers switched all their spending over to the influencer world in the first place is because of how effective it is. Instead of spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on creating creating and running an ad through TV or physical media, you can pay an influencer a portion of that to share a product with a trusted and specific demographic rather than just anyone who stumbles upon your ad. And because influencers are just like us, their endorsement of a brand is perceived to be more authentic than a direct ad from the brand. And the numbers prove this as well. As a 2015 Thomason study showed something like a $6 return per $1 spent, which is great compared to the average $2 for every $1 spent in traditional advertising. But that number may be potentially dwindling as people just aren't spending money on frivolous things anymore. And that being said, there's also far less trust in influencer these days, which makes it even harder to make your sale. As shown here, 62% of users say that they trust influencers less than they did 3 years ago. And so apparently, when social media ROI is down, influencers make up for it by not disclosing ads. Because obviously, people are more likely to buy something if they don't know that it's a paid product placement.
Nothing makes me more mad than when I'm scrolling and I see a video that is clearly an ad that is not marked as an ad for two reasons. One, you legally have to, or else you can get in legal trouble. And two, companies will be like, wow, this person's ad did so good, let's hire them again. Yeah, because it literally was not marked as an ad in the algorithm.
As well, people have speculated that the algorithm pushes down content that uses the paid promotion icon, and so they're even less likely to use it because it doesn't bring good results to bring back to the brand. But here's the thing, sometimes you literally can't tell if something is an ad because it's just someone engaging with a product or putting it in frame. And this is going to cause so many problems in the industry because it's not just that you can't trust influencers' endorsements anymore, but anything they talk about positively because you never know if it's an ad. And on top of that, we also get influencers straight up lying, like Michaela's mascara scandal. If you don't know, in a sponsored post for L'Oreal mascara, she put on false lashes to make the results look better than they were. Super slimy. Point being, while this false advertising may increase profits for influencers in the short term, it ruins the industry for everyone in the long term. Because if influencer trust disappears, companies will pull their money out, and your favorite creator may be forced to do something else for work. Super sad, but also, if you want to see the influencer world crash and burn, that's okay too. And we are already seeing this happen, as shown here. While 58% of participants in this study said that they had purchased a product based on an influencer's recommendation, 26% said that they do not trust influencer marketing at all. Only 11% said the same about advertising in general. Audiences are tired. Tired of ads, tired of carbon copy content, and tired of influencers who increasingly seem out of touch. The trust and authenticity that once defined the industry is becoming harder and harder to come by. Final thoughts. So, is the influencer economy over? Well, I don't think it's necessarily over, but it's due for a correction. I definitely think people will continue to be drawn to smaller creators. They are kind of not a part of this conversation, if you couldn't figure that out, because they're the last taste of authenticity on our feeds. But this all rides on whether AI takes over social media or not in the first place. Like I said in the intro, the influencer economy is massive and is only projected to grow. So I don't think it's going anywhere. I just think it might become more insufferable and full of more AI slop.
Trick or treat! I'm the prettiest princess on this block right now. Got anything sweet for me?
Sure thing.
Ooh, a lollipop? Yes!
I love it. Thank you, Queen. Happy Halloween. Bye!
Speaking of AI slop, there are so many worse implications of Sora outside of social media, and I didn't get into that because it's not applicable to this video. But again, specific to social media, the AI revolution is super annoying because there's already so much distrust, and it's just making it worse. And you know, now that I'm thinking about it, maybe the influencer bubble has already burst because they're completely different than what they originally started out as, and for the most part, they are unlikable, like the large creators. So, I don't know, you tell me. But that is all I have for you today. Make sure you subscribe if you haven't. YouTube also has this new feature where you can hype a video if you enjoyed it, so feel free to do that if you liked this video. Other than that, I wish you a week of real life connections. Bye.
Look, and we know this is the way lighting rigs are going in, like, Broadway and major tours. And, you know, you can look and you can see the difference between LED and gelled tungsten. And I'm not...
Who are you?
Why are you watching this?
What went wrong with your algorithm?
Why are you listening to us? If you don't do this for work, this isn't interesting minutia. And if you do, this is people you don't know sharing the same opinions you already have.